Welcome again, everybody, to the podcast Hearers of the Word, offered by Kieran O'Mahony. This is a reflection for the second Sunday of Easter based on the Gospel, John 20, 19 to 31, the story of Thomas. In Dublin city centre, there is a Unitarian church on Stephen's Green. Once they had a poster which said simply, "I prefer living doubts to dead certainties." A nice play on words, because a dead certainty seems to be something desirable, especially in sports and betting. But in this case, living doubts are better than dead certainties. It is an arresting thought, and today's gospel reminded me of the poster. So what do we do with our doubts? The lingering or maybe malingering feelings of uncertainty when it comes to faith. Is there anything to be said in favour of doubts? Our gospel today is remembered as the story of doubting Thomas. This in spite of the fact that Thomas makes the most resounding act of faith in Jesus in the whole Gospel of John. It should really be remembered as a story of faith, believing Thomas. But that will never catch on, simply because we identify more readily with the figure of doubt, just a bit nearer to our experience. On the journey of faith, we encounter two trajectories or forces. The first is what we have received, usually in childhood from parents, family, school, and church. It's a combination of beliefs, practices, and ethics which can stand us in good stead. Unfortunately, it is often the case that while we continue to grow in understanding in other areas of life, our adult understanding of what we believe often lags behind. A simple example might be familiarity with the Bible. What have I picked up or not picked up over time? Another example might be my faith in Jesus, his teaching, destiny, death, and resurrection. How do I make that my own? Some things from childhood are to be treasured throughout our lives, of course, and we can enjoy still a childlike trust in God. But a childish grasp of the faith helps no one. A tenuous, underdeveloped understanding of what I believe makes faith vulnerable to present-day pressures. And pressures there are in plenty. There is the wider cultural phenomenon of what we may call evangelical atheism. The keenness of some people to dispel the darkness of faith could put us to shame. In our own country, societal attitudes have evolved to a greater acceptance of different ethical social perspectives. To give a few examples, divorce and remarriage, same-sex couples, assisted fertility, end-of-life care, and so on. It is also evident that intolerance is not confined to one side. For a raft of reasons, a lot of people have walked away from the faith project, often to my surprise, without regret. Edith Piaf sometimes comes to mind, "Je ne regrette rien." I shouldn't really be surprised, because more often than not, people have no inkling of the extraordinary riches, spiritual, intellectual, and social, within the Christian tradition, especially in its Catholic form. And often, people have no grown-up grasp to support the what and the why and the wherefore of faith. We find ourselves caught in a kind of existential dilemma. People of faith, honouring what we have received, and yet socially and personally under pressure. A first step then is simply to acknowledge that this is the real world in which we try to live out our faith. But what to do? I think we have a few ways forward, further faith trajectories, if you will. The first is always to be true to ourselves, our convictions, and our experience. We can acknowledge the hungers of the heart in the inner voice of conscience, and we can register or clear dissatisfaction with a purely materialist account of life. Denis O'Carroll's ironic poem, Missing God Can Help Here. Let me quote one verse. Miss him when the TV scientist explains the cosmos through equations, leaving our planet to revolve on its axis aimlessly, a wheel skidding in snow. That hunger of the heart is the foundation of the spiritual quest. Opening ourselves to a spiritual journey of prayer, conversion, and what St. Paul calls newness of life. It will surely include the Word of God. But even with all that, more is needed. What is needed is a kind of grown-up integration of life and faith. All our lives, our goal is to become whole and holy ourselves. We admire integrity in a person, the quality of someone who is really the same person in themselves, as spouse and parent, as friend and colleague, guided by an inner vision of goodness. As believers too, we are called to integrity, not just moral integrity, but the integration of my whole life and my faith. This calls for a grown-up familiarity with the faith, and a grown-up grasp of what I believe and why it matters. The next stages of the synodal pathway, the direction we have taken under the leadership of Pope Francis, includes a strong appeal for exactly that. If I may quote the Irish submission, the synodal process highlighted the serious weaknesses in adult faith development in Ireland. Many of the submissions reported that people found it hard to engage with the questions, the concepts, and the language relating to communion and mission. There is a felt need among many respondents for safe and dynamic spaces where people can come together to talk deeply about their faith and increase their knowledge of it. One submission stated, "Our spiritual growth is stunted. As adult members of the church, we are not sufficiently grounded in our faith and do not have the confidence in speaking about our love of God." Into the future, what is needed is a grasp of the faith that is both faithful and critical, evolving and real. As someone sharply put it, simply to repeat the past is to falsify it. So when it comes to faith and doubt, it is not either or. We are not either believing Thomas or doubting Thomas. Instead, we inhabit both realities within ourselves in a living tension. To put in other words, it is not that we believe in spite of doubts, but rather because of our living doubts, we believe. Thank you very much, everybody.